Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing.
Well, here we are, live radio. Brother Ralph, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, Brother Ralph, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you. I've got to step out of the office. We had our neighbor, we just had a medical call for our neighbor. And Pastor Cox, good evening. So I'm going to run right up the road.
Are you hearing static? Are you hearing static on my end?
No, you sound pretty good here.
I'm getting good. Static. I'm gonna hang up and call back real quick, okay?
Okay, that'll work.
If that changes it.
That'll work.
All right.
Well, Pastor Cox, I'm going to leave you guys on the bridge. I know we've got a few minutes. I'm just going to run up and check on my neighbor real quick. He's older and suffering from cancer, and I'll be back for your callers, okay?
Okay, are we live now?
We're live now, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So
okay.
If you'll just go on, and I'll be back. All right?
Okay. All right.
Thanks. Better. All right, no, Ralph. I'll be right back in time for your callers. But you guys are on live now. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Well
we are. Good evening. We started a little something different. Richard had to run out for the emergency, so we're starting right off. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hope is Alive. I'm Ralph, and as always, with Pastor Cox down in Oklahoma. Good evening, brother.
Good evening, Ralph, and blessings from Oklahoma City.
We're having some unusually cool weather for this time of year. We had some rain come in. It is in the upper 60s, which is very odd for June here in the Ozarks. But, you know, it's a little relief from the heat and humidity. We'll probably pay for it tomorrow with all this humidity. But it feels great to be here, and we do thank everybody for joining us. If you have any questions about deliverance, you can always go to deliveranceusa.com. Wealth of information there at that website. All the things that we talk about are on there. All the training that you would need, all the self-deliverance you would need, all the prayers you would need are just available there at the click of the mouse. Or you can call off Richard at the office at 307-742-7582 and tell them you'd like to have the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. And that is just a great manual to have in your library, a great manual to have to apply, and all the steps are there laid out. There's a system. That system is from years and years of experience. I know Pastor had gotten a video out of them doing some deliverance back in the 80s. I have not had a chance to watch that, but I think I've seen it. And in the email it said, I'm sure glad we have the ministry steps today. So those steps are there for a reason. They're there to help cut down the manifestations. And it's just a more efficient way to get those demonic spirits and the trauma and everything else that's there and get people healed.
Yes, hallelujah. And yes, I came across that... It's actually a film and was on TV at various stations, 30-minute film on the real enemy, which, of course, is the demonic side, where people, instead of thinking it's flesh and blood, that it's actually the demonic and the Satan and his demons coming against and trying to block Christians' lives. But we had four cases on there that showed deliverance taking place in a large meeting that we did. And then I interviewed those people some months later, and they told a difference in their lives. So even then, while ministry was pretty tough a lot of times with heavy manifestations, because we didn't know how to prepare the people like today, but it's low-key these days, and people sitting nicely in their chairs, they sometimes feel the spirits come out, but it's not the television... Hollywood type of manifestations that you typically see there. Well, we had 16 cases, Ralph, last Monday night, and went very well. I've got the reports, been going over them from each minister, and I had a real good case myself. Got the head demon up, and her inner healing was magnificent, but so were the soul ties. but the dealing with the trauma door and where Jesus came in and took the bad feelings supernaturally with various events and memories that she had of the past, and he takes those supernaturally, and of course that closed that trauma door and pulled the rug out from under the demons that came in through those traumas, and therefore we had a really good ministry. I got the head demon up, and it just went like clockwork, and praise God, there was two ladies sitting in with me, and we all commented how she looked like a different person. She looked younger, and that's so typically what we see.
Well, praise the Lord. I mean, that's just, it sounds like just a typical deliverance night with, like he was saying, they don't normally have those fireworks. It's just a matter of people coming in. They have problems. They have oppression. They get set free, and they come out smiling. They say they feel lighter. Probably going to hear from everyone you contact, had the best night's sleep ever. that's just fantastic to hear. Now, I had a wonderful experience today. I was with a customer and came in on a partial conversation, and this is a good customer of mine. She's a good Christian woman, and I was able to inject some stuff scripturally, talking a little bit about healing, basically, with nutrition and the Bible. And the lady was sitting there listening to me, and she just looked at the other lady and says, "Everything is bearing truth," is what he just said. The Holy Spirit is telling me everything he's saying is truth. And I just kind of smiled, and I said, well, when there's an anointing, if you have the anointing, you usually sense it right back. But I got to talking with her, and she and her husband were deliverance ministers.
Wow. Okay.
And she was just excited. She was just excited as could be to tell someone about the stuff she experienced. And, I mean, flooded me with all kinds of testimonies, and they were just wonderful. I had given her the radio show. I hope, Ms. Marlene, if you're listening, hi. I hope you are, but if not, maybe you'll catch it in the archives. But I definitely gave her the website, how to listen, how to get the archives, what the date of my personal testimony was. And I said, you know, listen to the program, pray about it. And I said, I'd like to have maybe you and your husband come on 1 week and just tell the things that you've experienced and seen. And she was telling some stuff. The other lady that was in there, my customer, she started getting goosebumps and chills. And I said, well, I've had conversations one-on-one with demonic spirits, and the people had no idea what was coming out of their mouth. And she's like, oh, I don't know, it'd be too scary. And I said, well, it shouldn't be scary, because we have all power and authority. And she quoted Luke 10:19 with me. she knew 10:19. And I said, and there's the most important part right there. And nothing shall otherwise harm you. And I said, that's what's so important. And I said, you know, I will admit there's been a deliverance or two where I have seen some shadowy figures that have given it on. And for a second, it kind of surprised me. But it's just the enemy trying to inject fear in there. And they have no real authority, real power over us. And as long as we exercise in that, there's nothing to worry about, because we can command those out. And it was real interesting with this lady. She was talking about, she says, you know, you just can't get these, you just can't get these spirits out unless these people want them to leave. And I said, yeah, that's true. I said, if they want to hold on to what they have, it's very, very hard to get them out. And, you know, I could be wrong on this, Pastor, but I can only think of two times in Scripture where demons came out where people weren't seeking for that relief, or someone that was in authority over them was seeking for that relief. You know, we know that the woman who came and said, oh, my daughter's cruelly demon-possessed, she has spiritual authority over her daughter, and that one came out without her asking. And, you know, the healing of the centurion when he said, well, my slave back home is sick, can you heal him? Then there was a situation there, but most people were reaching out and gathering. But the only time I could think of in Scriptures, right off the top of my head, is the Gethsemane demoniac that was at the tombs. But that man was completely out of his mind. And that was the works of Jesus to show that we can do this thing, and you know, he's breaking chains and all these things. That was definitely supernatural. And in the book of Acts, when the woman had a spirit of divination, and it was only after several days of bothering the apostles, they finally turned around and said, in Jesus' name, come out of them.
That's right. Well, those are no doubt assignments. Those demons were in those people. Just like today, any demon we can find that's on thereby a satanic assignment coming out of Satan's war room to block that person's life. So, since we have all power, we can break assignments anytime and cast the demons of the assignments out. Now, the typical person that comes in has more than assignments. They've opened doors, they've got the generational doors where spirits have come in, the unforgiveness door, and so on. But any demons, and I find often by interrogating the demons that a good half of them, sometimes more, of the several dozen plus demons that are in most Christians that we minister to, are there by a satanic assignment to block that Christian's life, to block their God-given gifts, to block their destiny. But again, the good news, since we have all power, all we got to do is break assignments, command the demons to go.
Yes, yes, and those are the easy ones to get.
Yes,
it's
they
the
are.
Ones that have the, it's the ones that have the deep root that sometimes you have to really really find out what that is, and it doesn't mean that the person can't be set free if you don't find out. It just makes it really hard, and it's more efficient if you can get to the root cause. And a lot of times that root cause will be some sort of trauma in the life, or it'll be generational.
Yes, and of course unforgiveness is the biggest
door
that we keep running into. Since Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you'll be turned to the tormentors, and the tormentors would be about three dozen some odd spirits.
Well, that trauma often goes hand in hand with forgiveness, because a lot of times people have trauma in their life because of something that somebody did to them, or maybe their parents had done to them, or a childhood friend, or something to that effect would be the trauma, and a lot of times you get them to heal where they actually forgive that person. You know, they realize, and I sit back and think about, well, I've never really forgiven that person and hold it back all these years. And that could definitely be an open door for that. But what was interesting about this woman I met today, she talked about how she was in the occult before she got into deliverance. It was through someone delivering her that she came out of it. But for a while, she thought it was okay to call herself a Christian witch. And she said, I was reading the Bible one day, and I looked there, and it said clearly, suffer not a witch to live. And that convicted her. Those words convicted her. She said she immediately went and destroyed all of her stuff that had to do with the occult. And
hallelujah.
Helped some other people as well too. I mean, I wish I could think of half of the things that she was flooding me. She was so excited to hear somebody that knew about deliverance and to give her testimonies and things. I mean, she was on fire for the Lord. And she had after telling her the thing she was talking about, I said, you know what your strongest gift is? And she says, no, what? And I said, it's discernment. I said, you've been all these stories telling me you were able to discern what was going on with this person, able to discern what was going on with this person without even them knowing it. And he brought it up to him, and he said, that's right. I said, you have very strong discernment. And I said, that's a very powerful tool, because it helps you, it can help you get to set someone free. If you can look at them and have discernment that this is bothering them or that's bothering them or whatnot, I mean, that's just a powerful, powerful tool for the gifts of the Spirit. Very, very strong tool for the gifts of the Spirit. And
it is.
I was very excited to meet her.
I don't seem to have any special gifts like that. But by using these steps that we've learned to do over these years, and of course I can teach anyone that's just like me, doesn't have any special gifts, they can learn to do the steps, like in my book, or on our website, and under self-ministry, that they'll learn those steps. You can minister to the world out there and do pretty well.
You can. And And what will happen a lot, too, is as you start working and using those steps and start operating in your authority, then you start asking the Holy Spirit for help and working it, those gifts, especially if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're going to get the use of those gifts with no ands, ifs, or buts about it. Those gifts are there for us. There is a tool, but the steps are there. I was talking with a brother in Christ, and he says just about a system wins out every time. A system wins out every time. So that's just the fantastic about it is why work harder. You can work smarter. Pastor Cox and all those people that helped put the book together, they put it down, so we don't have to reinvent the wheel. But it was just it's just a good thing. I'm very, very thankful that you've done that, Pastor. I'm thankful that the Lord put that on your heart to write that book, because it's a manual.
Yes, and that was the idea of it. Of these 40 years I've been doing it, we decided we better get it all on paper, and where other people can use it.
And I'm glad that people have done that. I'm glad that Pastor Peters had the foresight for so many years to record all of his messages. I'm glad that that some of us that have been together in prayer meetings have had the foresight to record the prayer meetings, because we've had some tons of interpretations we've been able to go back and revisit. So we're just thankful for the technology of all this that we have. They're able to do that. Pastor, we have Debbie with us. Debbie, thank you for calling.
Oh, hi. I was just listening. I was enjoying what I was hearing.
Well, right. I hear myself talking off. I'm here to hear you talk, so thank you for coming on and give us your testimony.
Yeah, Debbie, thank you so much for calling in. And why don't you go ahead, Debbie, and go ahead and give some background on yourself and when you were born again, and how you, or when you learned about deliverance, or how you learned about it, and then any experiences you'd like to share.
Okay. Well, okay. I let me just get with it here. It seems like I've got a lot here. If I go too long, you'll have to stop me.
Okay.
Well, growing up, church was a big part of my life, and you know, we lived out in the country, and Mama took us kids to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every time the doors were opened, and we attended Vacation Bible School and went to church camp and the whole thing. And it was a denominational church, and, life was good. I had a happy childhood, pretty good. Then in eighth grade, I got as a Christmas gift, I got a Ouija board, and played with that, and didn't know at the time what it was doing, but now I know what it did. Became very fearful, afraid, couldn't sleep through the night. I saw things at night, heard things. One time I saw a man's hand come through the window and woke up screaming. And so that's from the eighth grade on. But as far as life, all was good. You know, I graduated from high school and went to college and for a semester, and then my life changed. I got pregnant when I was 18, and Shane's father and I, we got married, but we were both so young and, you know, stupid, and didn't really have a chance to work out. We divorced, and a year later I got married again, and then my mom died when I was 23, and my second marriage didn't make it, and I was divorced within 2 years. There I was again, a single parent raising my son. During this time, I attended a church with a friend of mine, and I just kept getting baptized, because that's what I thought, that the way to get better was to keep getting baptized. But in the early 80s, Shane and I moved to Tulsa. So for the next 3 years, I worked and raised my son and had a couple of on and off relationships. And then in the springtime of 1986, I became what they call now a whistleblower for the outfit I worked for. And well, they ended up firing me, even though I, you know, spoke the truth. So here I was unemployed with a 13-year-old to take care of and bills to pay. But throughout all that time, I'd pray to God, and I loved, you know, I prayed, and I believed in him and everything. So that was the setting when I met this wealthy man who was about 18 years older than I was. of course, he said he loved me. He'd take care of me for the rest of my life. And so Shane and I moved in and lived with him in his penthouse. Things were good for about 8 months, and he treated me like a princess, bought me fancy clothes, took me on trips, got to drive his Mercedes convertible. I didn't have to worry about, you know, paying the bills. And then everything turned bad. His true colors came out. And by that time, I'd given up, my life. I didn't even have a checking account. I didn't have any money and no place to go. And it kept me up at night, the drugs, the prostitutes, just the never-ending life, nightlife. And I'd lost my will. And then one night, I looked up, and it hit me that God had seen everything that had gone on. I repented. I cried. I asked God, please get me out of this mess. Something shifted when I truly repented, but I did not know how I was going to get out of there. I started sneaking around and listening to TBN. Someone had bought me a Bible. Well, it got better. It got bad before it got better. To make a long story short, the man was taken to the hospital a few times, but he'd get out, and he'd come back, and he'd go crazy and torment us all. And his mother and brother were concerned for me, so they hired this person to come and actually babysit him so that I could get some sleep. Well, she turned out to be a strong woman of God. That when she came in to look after him, she ended up looking after me. I told her, I said, I feel like I'm going crazy. And she said, well, that doesn't come from God. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And I said, really? I said, would you take me to church? And she said she would. So that next Sunday, I snuck out of the penthouse, and I went down the outside of the spiral staircase, and I hid in the bushes until she came by to pick me up. She took me to this church called Eagle's Nest Fellowship. It was there in Tulsa. It's no longer there, but it was there at the time. Thank you, Jesus. I had never been to a church like that. I didn't even know they existed. I had never heard praise and worship, and they even had musical instruments. I went to the altar. I cried. And then I went back 4 days later to the church thinking I was going to a Bible study. Well, it turned out to be a deliverance session. All I know, I was in that room, and it was full of people. I didn't even know them. They're strangers to me. They were praying, and they were speaking in tongues. And I thought I'd fallen asleep, but when I lifted up my head, I started humming. Something inside me started humming, Jesus loves me. I got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. I never went back to the penthouse. I'd lived with one of the families from the church for about 6 weeks. That's when I went through a lot of deliverance. I got free from a spirit of fear, lust, fornication, loneliness, rejection. Jesus filled that void that I had tried to fill it with so many things, and Jesus came in and just filled it.
Praise God.
Filled it up. And then, of course, I'd go to the altar every time there was an altar call. I got stronger in the Lord. I read my Bible. I attended church. My son, who was able to, thank you, Lord, had spent a month staying with his cousins in Louisiana while I was going through all that. He was able to come and stay at this family's house with me for a few weeks, and he got free, too. He got healed and delivered. And then we both attended 3 semesters of Divine Strategies class at Eagles Nest, which was part of a deliverance team, and we were part of a deliverance team. And my son and I would go on mission trips, and once we went to Mexico, and the wonderful stories of deliverance of the people there, and other churches that we attended to help would have deliverance team. We were part of a team that would go out and help people get free. So I got to see several things there. And so I attended that church, Eagle's Nest, for about 9 years. My son graduated from ORU, and I even went back to school at ORU. I got an internship at the Oklahoma Film Office, which turned into a job. And then I worked at the film office in Tulsa. They moved me. That's when I met my husband, Paul, who was a screenwriter from Hollywood. And at that point, I had not dated for like 11 years. I told the Lord, if I'm to be married again, you're going to have to bring him to me because I am not good in that department. And so after a 9-month courtship, Paul and I got married in November of 2000. the office had moved me to Oklahoma City. Well, back when I was at Eagles Nest, there was a visiting preacher that had started a church called City Church in downtown Oklahoma City. That was the only church I knew that had that had deliverance services, and I knew that Paul and I needed to attend. And that's where I met Everett Cox. Thank you, Lord. By that time, I needed an overhaul. I do attend a church now that believes in deliverance, and I have deliverance ministers. But Everett has such a wonderful training class. It's just wonderful. Well, since then, Paul and I, of course, we've gotten very busy with our career and callings, and, you know, life, sickness, family, death in the family, and you know, we've had some rejections and betrayals, and I just got busy with life again. But to bring it up to date, more recently we had a family member stay with us, and a young man, our nephew, he was attending the school here in Oklahoma City. Without going into all of it, I knew he needed healing. He needed deliverance. And, you know, I wish I could have helped him, but he didn't like me praying for him or laying hands on him. You know, and I felt so rusty. I felt like, you know, God had been so good to me and had helped me all those years, that here I was, that I needed to get back in the groove and get back to what I know what to do, because there's a lot of people hurting, and a lot of people need to know what I've been through, and that Jesus can do it for them too. So I made it back to the deliverance ministry, got myself another overhaul. Thank you, Jesus. But now I'm going to the training classes, the basic and the advanced, and I'm staying for they call it the lab, where you sit in and help the minister, and that's where I am.
And Debbie, we had an interesting case. You sat in with me Monday night. You might share some of that.
What now? I didn't hear. The session Monday night?
Right.
Oh,
share
it was,
some of
that was wonderful. That was wonderful. She had this, I don't know how much we can say, she had really gone through a lot. And she got some wonderful deliverance and some peace in her heart. And you even got up the head demon. Is that okay to say that on the radio?
Yeah, or sure. We talk about it all the time.
Oh, yes, yes.
You might.
Yes, that was amazing. And it's amazing that we can, as believers, like, we can do that. We can do that to help set the captive free. If we get it in our head, in our heart, in our everything about us, that we do have all authority to do those things.
Yes. You could see that you get a feel for the enemy, how they operate when you're on a one-to-one with the head demon, and you get a feel for their viciousness and how they're trying to, he even said it wanted to kill her. That was one of the things it was wanting to do. And
you were able to ask her how it got in, what allowed it in, and how long it had been there, and who else was there.
Demon was talking out of her mouth.
Yeah, yes.
Came in at age 2, in fact, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Age
2. I mean, she.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. She knew quite a bit of what she had gone through in her life, but then when you took her through some through that process, there was things that she had didn't have any knowledge of.
Yes.
So.
Right. The inner healing worked really well with her.
Yes, it did. And you know, she was open to it too. She wanted it. So when people come expecting and desiring it and wanting it, that might be a little bit easier, huh?
Yeah, right. How'd she look when we finished up?
Oh, she looked like 10, well, not that she was heavy, but she looked 10 pounds lighter and full of peace. And she had a calmness on her face. It was like,
right.
It's just, then it makes you feel good to be able to see people get free.
Yes, and of course I'm always on a high, and you had to be on a high too of seeing all that happen, Debbie.
Yes, it's kind of hard to come home and go to sleep.
I know. I'm the same way. I used to float home, and then I even drink some coffee when I get home. I can't go to sleep for a while anyway.
It's so
that's
exciting.
That's excitement. Yes.
I'm sorry.
And that God has enabled us, endued us with this power to speak in His name, to minister to people like this. And of course, how many more people are out there like that woman?
Oh, I know. Probably a lot. And a lot of them are like she was. She's Christian. I mean, I was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'd gotten into sin. A lot of us are out there.
There's just, yes, there's tons of people that, and they never get the freedom like that woman got Monday night. I haven't had a chance to talk to her yet, but it's a no-brainer to know she's better. You know, there's no way she wouldn't be better with all that went on in a few hours.
I know.
That was exciting.
It's just amazing. It is amazing. It is hard to go to sleep after having a session like that.
I'm excited as you're going through the training, Debbie, and just think how many people you can minister to in your lifetime.
I know. I'm looking forward to being as good as you are ever, because you're pretty good. you're real good at
40,
ministering.
40 years of practice helps, you know.
40 years.
You know, with the training we have, people learn. Anyone can learn as fast as they want to. With all these steps, taking me all these years to get these steps together, but today those steps are available in the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. It's available through Scriptures for America and DeliveranceUSA.com. You can get hold of it, get it ordered there. So,
yes, and that
God.
You've got so much on your website that people can just print off. And that book, I'm going to start carrying that book in my purse everywhere I go, because, you know, I was just in the hospital the other day, ended up praying, and I ended up doing the soul tie breaking method, breaking the soul tie, unforgiveness and soul tie breaking.
Yeah.
And so I'm gonna carry your book in my purse, because you never know when you're going to need it.
Well, hallelujah. I assume your purse is bigger than my pocket.
I can't carry the whole manual because you got all those papers, but your book has a lot of that in there, which, like you said, people can order that and get one for themselves and read it and have it on hand, because you never know when you're going to need it. And then that ministry report that you've come up with, that's really good.
It's called being ready in season and out of season. Debbie, I don't mean to cut you off here, but we're about your time. Just about up. But it is called being ready in season and out of season. And having that book does help. Printing those pages off helps. Some of the men that we're associated with that took the time to print those off and provided notebooks for each of the men, so they have that. They can just go through and, okay, here it is. We got the problem list. We have this. We have that.
Yeah.
So that might be something to consider doing. But I sure appreciate you coming on tonight, Debbie. It was a wonderful testimony. And
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, and God bless, sister.
Thank you. God bless you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Pastor, we have Joy. Joy, thank you for calling.
Good evening.
Hi, Joy.
Hi.
Glad you called in.
And we have our little format, so if you could go ahead and just give some background or history on yourselves and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and any experiences you'd like to share about it.
Sure. I was the youngest of five children. My oldest brother is 20 years older than I am, and they were pretty much all gone from the house by the time I came along. But we were all raised in a denominational church in a small town in Iowa, and my parents took me to church, and they were born in the 1920s, and they always seemed kind of stoic, and they never really said a whole lot about it. You'd say the grace, and you know, you just kind of knew that God was there, but it wasn't really anything that you talked a lot about. And of course, the denominational church, I kind of describe it as you went in, you sat down, you stood up, you sat down, you stood up, and then you left. You know, there was always an order about it. It was always the same order every week. But I believed in God and thought that was enough and tried to do the right thing. And when I was 13, my sister, I only have one sister, and she was married when I was that age, and she had me come to her house, which was about 4 hours away, and stay with her for a while. And she introduced me to the Ouija board. She asked two questions. How old would I be when I died? And the initials of who would I marry? I didn't take it seriously. And I didn't really have any of the repercussions that other people talk about, even as I think about it now. I will say that when I look back at my childhood and my life, it seems like God had his hand upon me right from the beginning. My mom was in her 40s or 40 when I was born in 1963, and they told her not to count on me because she had gallbladder surgery and I might not make it. I was blue when I was born, and they were so happy they called me Joy. And my middle name is Danae, after my father, his name's Donald. At that time, someone didn't like my name, and so they agreed to call me Danae and not Joy by my first name. And so all through life, I went through my middle name, using my middle name, and I was told it was because my sister didn't like my first name, Joy. Well, I went through kind of a rebellious period, kind of the rebellious teens, I guess I would call it. And I wasn't very nice to my parents. I was quite disrespectful at that time. But I got into a little bit of drinking, as teenagers do. Not a whole lot, but I remember liking a guy who was quite rebellious and was in quite a lot of trouble. And I asked him one night, I said, when we were out on a date, I said, "Do you believe in God?" "Yeah, I believe in God," he said. And I knew, I thought right then, okay, that's good. I can date this guy. He says he believes in God. That's okay. That'll make it all right. Well, I opened my Bible the next few days after that, and there was a scripture, "Even the demons believe and tremble." And I knew that was a problem. I knew right then, yeah, this is a problem. It witnessed with me. I went off to college, and I was in college about a month in Missouri when my dad died. I was 18 years old. And my whole life changed at that point. I had just figured my dad would be around until I was 40 or, you know, until I was a grown up. But my dad died, and it changed everything. I realized that the things I thought I knew, you know, I knew it was going to be this way, and I knew this, and I knew that, it wasn't that way anymore. It was a huge wake-up call for me, and God used it and took what was meant for evil and turned it to good. I met my husband in college, and we got married, and We even had at that time, there was a spirit-filled minister back in my little home church that married us. How he got into that denomination and managed to stay spirit-filled, but he did. And we really believe that God brought us together, and so we started our marriage. I still wasn't really very far in the faith, still pretty much denominational. And I kind of can say that God was growing me. We moved away after college, and at one point ended up in a big city, and we attended a church there with my husband's parents. And this was an immersion church, and I had not ever been immersed. The denomination I was from didn't do that. And that was a big step for me, but the preaching, and it just really touched my heart, and I knew I needed to be baptized. So I was. I was baptized, and God continued to kind of work on us and kind of grow us, and we started our family, and I would guess various hurts and differences, and my sister, who introduced the Ouija board, came back into my life very strong after we had our first child, and I didn't know it at the time, but she was working against me. She was jealous of me, as she had been from the start when I was born, and I didn't know everything she was doing against me and my family and my marriage. Years go by, and marriage deteriorates, problems, and I would say that neither one of us considered divorce, but we were divorced spiritually and emotionally. We had no connection. God was working, and he clearly showed us that we should leave Illinois and move to Missouri. So we did, and the prayer was, Lord, let's leave all the bad stuff in Illinois and start over new in Missouri. And God honored our obedience to leave Illinois when he told us. He changed things in our lives, began to work to restore our marriage and our relationship and to grow us. I would say that he definitely had a plan for us, and Richard found out about the deliverance ministry through watching YouTube and Derek Prince. And we discussed it. Do you think this is true? Do you think that Christians can have demons? Well, I don't know. What do you think? Well, I don't know. Let's watch these videos. So we watched more, and at that time, a woman named Martha came into our lives, and her husband, and she gave us a book, Everett Cox's book. And we continued to wonder, well, what do you think? We finally believed that it was true, because we coupled with the Derek Prince, seeing is believing, coupled with the book, we knew that we wanted to continue to restore our marriage and be clean of these things. And so we decided Oklahoma City was only 5 or 6 hours away, and it was doable. So we went there and filled out the sheet. And I had two wonderful women ministers there. And the first thing they said to me, I had written my first name down on the paper, as I usually did, because no one really can pronounce my middle name, Danae. And they said, oh, Joy, that's such a wonderful name. And I said, well, I don't like it. I never have liked that name. And they said, well, why? I said, well, I found out the truth. My mother had died a few years before that, and I began to piece things together about my sister and about my grandma and about my name, Joy, and how it was my grandma that didn't like my name, Joy, and she didn't want me to be called that. She wanted me to be called by my middle name. So I told these women that, and they said, ah, a curse from the grandma and a curse from the sister. We're going to break that right now. And praise God, they did. and now I can be called Joy. Our oldest
Praise
son
God.
Has a word from the Holy Spirit that Joy is the name God gave you for your spiritual name, and Danae is your middle name, the fleshly part, named after your dad. So, praise God, I was set free from that curse of my sister,
Hallelujah.
My grandma.
Praise God.
Yes. Yeah, it was huge. The soul tie was broken. Many other things were broken that night. And I must say, I don't know if it was because of we'd had such a huge day. I didn't feel any difference in a big way. I don't know. I just kind of felt, well, you know, okay, that was good. I know it was good. But I can tell you, the next day, it was amazing. The joy that welled up inside of me and the speaking in tongues just came out all day. All day, doing dishes, doing laundry, hanging up laundry. Everything I did, I just walked around speaking in tongues, being amazed that this was just flowing out of me. I never had that experience. I had been baptized in the Spirit. But there were only a few syllables that would come out. It was only three or four syllables. And that they never changed. It was always the same three or four syllables. But yet, when that happened, it's just bubbling, and it's still bubbling, to pray in tongues and to give God the glory for what He was done, for what He has done and is doing. My relationship with my sister ended at the age that the Ouija board said I would die. So when it said that I was dead, or told her that I was dead, I figured that that was the time and the age when our relationship and her hold over me died.
Mm. Yeah. So what's gone forth from there?
What's that?
So what? Just go right on ahead there, Joy. You're doing great.
Okay. The change has been amazing. Even for myself, when I feel an attack or if there's something going on, you can tell this is a spirit of strife or a spirit of division, or just even a negative thought that wants to come to your mind about a person or a friend. I can take that thought and I can say, I bind you up, I cast you out, you have no power here in my life, and I'm not going to accept that thought. I'm not going to have those thoughts anymore, and send it to the feet of Jesus Christ for judgment. I did a lot of that for the first few days, just binding up every negative thought that would come to my mind. You know, no, I'm not going to be envious or jealous. I'm not going to have that anymore. I don't want no part of it. Be gone in Jesus' name. Go to the feet of Jesus. And I will say that it's been the first time that I can remember where your mind is actually free of having negative thoughts that you didn't realize were sent in by some spirit that was trying to open a doorway for you to accept that thought. And I don't accept that anymore. I'm not that person. And after a few days of casting them out and sending them on their way, they've decreased, and I've actually had complete freedom without negative, you know, the attack of the enemy.
Yeah.
So, grateful for God, or grateful to God for that. I've been praying with other people, and even working to bind up spirits so that these people can see the truth and hear the truth, and in hopes of shining the light to them where they will see the light, if we can bind up the spirits and the people that are even unbelievers so that they can see that they need to change and grow and accept Jesus Christ. Because so many people think they are Christians, that they're really not. So you want to bind up that spirit so that you can witness to them and get them saved, get them on the narrow path.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So you've been bringing, you came down again and brought people. How'd your second deliverance go?
Very well. It went very well. It was very good. And that was when I learned about the negative thoughts and able to just being able to find those up and not accept them. And that was a problem that I had been having in that these thoughts would keep coming. But it's like, I'm not that person and I don't accept that. But yet I keep getting these thoughts. Does that mean, you know, what does that mean? That went quite well because she told me that, you know, you just because you have a negative thought, you just find it up and test it out and send it on. And they'll try to come and attack for a while. But after they get found up and sent on, then they'll eventually figure it out that they have no place to light.
Yeah, if only more people could grasp that, Joy. But you're working on it. You keep sharing, and the people are coming down with you there. Have you seen changes in the other people that came down and got ministry?
Yes, most definitely. Yes, their lives have been changed. The one woman, her ex-husband seems to have kind of backed off, you know, in their circumstances to where they've kind of got a bit of a break from the way he's been treating her and her daughter. So that was something for them. They've been growing. They were happy to come. They were thankful that we all went. We got home, I think, at 5 in the morning, tired and happy. So very good. Very good news. We hope to bring some more people down.
Yes, getting home at 5 in the morning is definitely a long trip, but it sounds like maybe it was worth it.
It was way worth it, way worth every mile. We were thankful that it wasn't any farther. I'm glad that we live this close so that we can come, and I think perhaps at some point God will have us setting people free, because that's our desire. And I do
absolutely
100% that these signs shall follow those that believe. Like I said, I had to mull it around in my mind a little bit. Do Christians have demons, and how does that work? But I truly believe that now, and there's no reason why we have to carry the heavy burden that we do. It was like concrete blocks on my back, and it's gone.
Yes. And you felt lighter when they were lifted off, no doubt.
Yes, exactly. I don't have to accept the attack of whatever's coming my way, because Jesus Christ is greater. Greater is He that is in me.
Amen.
So we can walk in that, being careful to not get caught up in the circumstances, recognize what's going on, and evaluate what the spirit is or what it could be, and test it out and send it on.
Yes, and Joy, you can do up there in Springfield what we're doing down here in Oklahoma City. You know, we're all just Christians, and that's all it takes. Believers. It doesn't take any special gift. It's normal Christianity to do all this. So you guys have got a big base under you now. To start, the Lord will be sending you people to minister to. Well, we just have about a minute or so left in the remaining time. Joy, what else would you say to the people before we wind up?
I would say that it's real. It's very real, and it's there. It's there for everyone. I would highly recommend buying your book, reading it, and then putting it into practice. If you're near Oklahoma City, I would go and experience it firsthand. And then, as you said, there's no reason why every believer should not be doing these same things.
Yes, hallelujah. Joy, thank you so much. That was a great testimony. And how
yes,
Jesus
Joy,
is
thank
still
you.
In the overhaul business.
Thank you.
You know, I'm not too far down the road from you if you're in Springfield.
Yes, yes, we should get together. It would be good. Very good. We can do something in Springfield for sure.
So, yeah, I'm not too far down the road, so if something came up and needed some help, and I had the time, I would definitely come up and try to guide and help somebody through it and give testimony and even give an example of doing a deliverance myself so anybody else can see it. I've got plenty of training under Everett, so it wouldn't be much for me to do that.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah, just get a hold of Everett.
Just give your number my, then from Everett give you, then and
yeah,
we'll
yeah, just give it from
that.
Everett. And okay. But I do thank you for coming on this evening. And God bless, sister.
God bless you,
thank
Joy.
You.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's so good to see people starting to see it and have that desire to want to...
Well...
Well, I guess we're having some technical difficulties.
Yeah.
There's live radio for you, folks.
Oh, my gosh.
We do thank everybody for joining us this evening. And if you can't laugh at it, what can you laugh at? I mean, the Lord's good, life's good, and some things like this are a little funny at times. But we do thank everybody for joining us this evening. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Be sure to tune in next week. We won't be live, but we'll have a rebroadcast. It was a good one from 2 weeks ago. Well worth listening again. We're going to take off because of the holidays. And just remember that we celebrate July 4th in 1776. That was the anniversary of the nation born in a day the Lord gave this land to Israel. And that's something that we should remember. It's not just a day to shoot fireworks, though I do like shooting them. But today, to remember, that's when God gave this land to our forefathers, and we should take that as a, in my opinion, as a holy day in remembrance, and thanks to the Lord, because he gave us the greatest nation as far as everything that's needed on the face of the earth. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this evening. God bless, and we'll see you next time.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to travel.